In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Let's sit. So far, so good. Perhaps you can recall for yourself what it was, the story or the song or the nighttime ritual or whatever it was that opened up your imagination to the fullness of life, right? It gave you a worldview, you might say, something from family, maybe a grandmother or a grandfather or a trusted aunt or uncle who used to tell you stories about the way the world was put together and kind of maybe what your place was in it. Maybe it was off of television. Maybe it was in a book that you read. I know that for me, the very earliest message I got about the nature of the world and my place and delight in it was from a commercial that was big when I was a little kid. The power of commercials. Join in if you know the tune. The world looks awfully good to me, 'cause Tootsie Rolls are all I see. Whatever it is I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll to me. It's true. It changed my life. Not only did I learn that the world was delicious and it was to be savored, but more than that even, I learned that the world had a depth to it that was not obvious to the naked eye, right? That you could actually kind of get in there and pay attention to what's going on, and if you were willing, and I guess practicing this, you could get a glimpse of what it was that was behind that material reality of the world, right? Not that material is good and everything, or that material is bad and everything else is good, but that the material gives us access to this depth and breadth behind it, right? And the church talks about that as sacramental, right? That God uses the gift of material things, often superficial things like Tootsie Rolls or water or bread and wine, to reveal to us the depth of life. Right? Do we get that? We talk about that as a sacramental sensibility, that one of the main things we do in the church, one of the primary reasons we come to be together, is to develop the eyes and the ears and the mind and the heart to discern what's going on behind everything that's going on, right? It's our task. We're meaning makers. That's what we do. Our whole task is to be meaning makers. In the midst of celebration, to see it as God's great glory and triumph. In the midst of tragedy and despair, to see it as opportunity for God's loving and abiding presence and compassion with us, right? That life is attached to this great big arc of meaning. And our job as proclaimers of gospel isn't to tell anybody they don't maybe already have some instinct or inkling about. It's simply to unpack it and say, hey, you know that feeling you've had? You know that thing you've experienced? You know the sense that there's something more than what's presently in front of us? This is how we understand that, right? We unpack that for the world around us. And we do that because we've got a sacramental sensibility, right? Everything I think I see becomes a Tootsie Roll. It's the truth of things. It's not just a train. It's a gigantic Tootsie Roll cruising down the rail line. That was shocking and wonderful news at the same time. And it's why we're here, right? For the re-enchantment of the world. Because it's easy to lose the meaning in the midst of the chaos. One of the primary ways that God gets us to pay attention to the depth behind that sort of material stuff that we encounter on a day-to-day basis is to talk with us and to teach us about the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, right? That even in the midst of this material stuff that may seem totally random and out of order and deeply disappointing many occasion, that there's this thing that's happening behind it that is attached to the heart and the mind of God, which is to say that it's got direction, right? That there's meaning and purpose in it. Even the downs that go along with the ups, there is meaning and purpose to all of life, right? That life that we experience comes from the same God who we heard about, who broods over the waters at creation. That very same Spirit who made order out of disorder, right? Who filled the void with life and gave it direction. That very same Holy Spirit that made everything that is still abides in the midst of it. That God who loved it into being, that God who called it good, that God who abides with it still today is in the midst of it. And our task is to show up and find it, to see it, to attach our hearts to it, and to commit to it, to commit to a particular thing, because we're told through the rest of Scripture that that very same Spirit that created the whole thing shows up and does stuff on behalf of the creation, in the midst of creation. Not a distant, cold God who's disinterested, but a God who's in it, a God who's with us, right? A God who shows up, a God who cares, a God who fights, a God who grieves with us, a God who celebrates and rejoices with us. That very same God is the God who brooded over the original creation, gave it order, meaning, purpose, and direction. That is the very same God whose Holy Spirit we celebrate today. The same God whose Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, the very same God who called people to stand up and walk out of slavery in Egypt, the very same God who has spoken to us always in the midst of those from the margins who are calling and speaking truth to power, that very same Spirit who gets people to stand up who've been pushed down, the same Spirit that heals the broken, feeds the hungry, frees the captives, raises the dead to life, that very same Spirit is the Spirit we celebrate today on the Feast of Pentecost. And what we're told at Pentecost is that that Spirit is not just out there, but that it comes to us. It's reaching out to us. It's ready to alight on our heads, catch us fire, brood over the waters of our very own hearts, and shape us, and give us the very same order, the very same direction, the very same meaning and purpose in each of our lives. That very same God who did the whole thing is also working within us. We celebrate that at Pentecost, and we talk about it as several different types of miracles. That Pentecost is, on the one hand, a miracle of the tongue. How amazing that folks from Galilee, of all places, like Eastern Washington, could speak different languages, right? How wonderful that folks who don't know the language can hear and make sense of it. How wonderful that we could actually pick out of a crowd a voice that is speaking directly to us in a language we need to hear. What a miracle that is. And yet it is also just most profoundly a miracle of the mind and a miracle of the heart, that it gives our eyes and our ears capacity to discern that Spirit that is always present there, always calling to us, always inviting us out of our own little small worlds into this big world, opening our eyes to see Tootsie Rolls everywhere, to see the power and presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of the highs and lows of life, and who calls us to join with what God is up to. That very same Spirit we celebrate today. It's the very same Spirit that we were all baptized into at that very font, with that very water, with these very words that we're going to experience here just shortly. It's not just about me saving my tail. It's not about running from fire. It's not about looking out for trouble. The goal is not to be the smartest, most perfect, ideal person in the world. The goal is to give ourselves to God, to create room within us for that God to brood over us, to shape us over the course of an entire lifetime. Not to be perfect, not to be right, not to be aloof, not to protect ourselves from the ups and downs of the world around us, but to dive into it, because that's where God is, right? God is simply inviting us to be with God in the world as God is in the world. Everywhere, celebrating, grieving, healing, liberating, giving life to those who have been dead in the tomb. That's what we're invited into at Pentecost. That's what we're doing. That's why we're here. And in a way, while we might think that the goal of the Christian life is to show up and to learn a lot about God, At Pentecost, we learn what this is really about, is simply falling in love with God. Because we're told when we fall in love with God, when we're shaped by a love of God, when we give ourselves away to that God, then the life with God becomes very simple. We don't have anything to be afraid of because it is as easy as breathing. The reason we talk about spirit as ruach, the breath, is because you do it instinctually. Try to hold your breath. You're not going to do it for very long. And God tells us, you could try to hold your breath, but guess what? I'm going to get in there. You're going to breathe, and that breathing is going to be me. And if you get yourself out of the way and you just let me work on you, things are going to be different because you're going to fall in love with me the way I have fallen in love with you. And when you love me, you will love the things that I love. And because we know this God is the God of all creation, the God of all people, the God of all places, when we're shaped with that love, when we're shaped to love all the things that God loves because we've fallen in love with this God, we'll be different. Our worldview will be different. Our circle of concern will be different. Our ethics will be different. Our pursuit of justice will be different. Everyone and everything and every place will matter. We will see this as a household that we all share, and everyone matters in it. That our whole task is people who share that spirit, who breathe that God into us. That our task is to care for that God's creation, which is all of it. It is as easy as breathing. All we're asked to do is to fall in love with that God and to let that love shape us, to let that love lead us out into the world, to let that love expand our horizons, to let that love deepen our care and concern, to let that love lead us into risky situations where we put our own lives on the line for the lives of others. Because if I've learned anything from marriage, it is that when you love an other, you find yourself in places you would not have expected. Your calendar looks different, right? You spend a lot of time on sidelines you might never have expected. Loving God, being connected to God, being in relationship with God is no different. Just hand yourself over. Breathe, settle down, see where it takes you. That's the good news of Pentecost. It is just that easy if you allow it to be, if we allow it to be, and it will change us. Amen.